So can we just start by just tell me really what are the implications of this hearing? Is Donald Trump being the only president ever to be impeached twice, even though he is out of office? What are the implications of this for the country?
I think you're hearing a lot of people say it's symbolic, and I understand that idea because obviously he's not going to be convicted. So it does feel in some ways like it's symbolic. However, I do think even knowing that he's not going to be convicted, there is actual substantive value in having this trial. It does create a public record. Obviously, we started to see through the impeachment manager's case that there's been a substantial amount of video and testimony from individuals who witnessed things that we weren't aware of, didn't know what had been happening. There was unseen video, for instance. So I do think it's creating a brand new public record. I do think that it is going to put senators on the record about what they think the boundaries of the presidency are. And so that's going to be theoretically useful to voters as a piece of information in the future. So I get the idea that's symbolic, but I do think that even knowing that he will not be convicted, that the trial itself has actual value.
And there were arguments from the very beginning, whether or not it was constitutional. From your view as the expert, is it a constitutional trial?
I think people have an overly black and white view of the United States Constitution. It's very vague. It's lacking in specificity in a lot of places where you wish there were some specificity. And this is one of those places where it is not particularly specific. So there is a provision in the 14th Amendment about prohibiting somebody from holding office who's engaged in rebellious or insurrectionist behavior. Now, obviously, that was geared towards former members of the Confederacy, but that provision seems potentially relevant. But the Constitution gives actually no guidance on how to determine who has engaged in rebellious or insurrectionist behavior. I think that if you think about an impeachment trial as somewhat akin to a criminal procedure, then yes, it was constitutional. So in criminal trials, for instance, you have statutes of limitations where somebody can't be charged with a crime after a certain amount of time. Well, President Trump was indicted, that's the impeachment, was indicted before he left office. And that's all you need to stand up to a statute of limitations. So he's technically been, quote unquote, indicted by the being impeached before he left office. So if you use that rationale, then even though he's out of office, the trial is still perfectly legal. I'm not a constitutional law scholar, but from what I've been reading, the overwhelming majority of constitutional law scholars do seem to think it's constitutional. So it does seem to be a minority view that it's not constitutional.
Yeah, Congresswoman Sherry Bustos was in town yesterday, and she mentioned how there's no exemption for the president in January of their term. So I think that kind of puts in perspective how a lot of people or how a lot of Congress people are viewing it, that you have to be held accountable for your whole term. Would you think that's correct?
I myself err on the side of thinking that this is constitutional. I do understand the logic of thinking that there's not a kind of get out of jail free card towards the end of a president's terms in office that does set up a really concerning precedent for the future. I also don't necessarily buy the argument about, well, if you impeach this former president and then have a trial for him after he's out of office, but that just opens up the door to continued impeachment of former presidents. Obviously, this impeachment is sucking up a lot of political oxygen. It's getting in the way of the Biden administration doing a lot of things. The same thing would happen theoretically under a Republican-controlled Senate and a Republican-controlled presidency, where you would lose a lot of momentum bringing up impeachment charges on former presidents. And so you're really getting in your own way at that point. Plus, I don't think that there would necessarily be the public appetite for going after a former, in particular, Democratic president, as I think the implication here from Republicans. I don't think there'd be a public appetite for it in a way that there does seem to be much higher levels of public support for at least having this trial.
And you mentioned, I think you hold the same opinion as a lot of people, that a conviction is most likely not going to come out of this. But what does that mean for the political climate in the United States? Having this trial, even if a conviction doesn't come out of it.
I am skeptical that this has much impact at all on anything. I don't think it makes the polarization in Washington, D.C. or the polarization in the electorate better, But I also don't think it makes it worse, because I don't think this is changing anybody's minds. If you were already anti-Trump, you're still going to be anti-Trump. If you were pro-Trump, you're still going to be pro-Trump. I don't think it has a great possibility of actually changing anybody's minds. And I do think particularly like Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, is very much kind of just wanting to get the Trump presidency over and be done with it. And so I think he's still going to be obstructionist to President Biden's agenda, don't get me wrong, but I also don't think that he's going to be any more obstructionist because of this impeachment trial than he would have been otherwise.
And obviously, if somehow he was convicted, that would prevent him from holding federal office again. Is there anything else that would come out of him, out of it, if he does say does get convicted?
There would have to be actually a second vote. So to impeach somebody is a majority vote in the House. To convict somebody is a two-thirds vote in the Senate. So 67 senators would have to vote to convict him. And then to bar him from running for future office, there would have to be a majority vote. So it's not immediate. There would be another step. But if 67 senators theoretically in some alternate universe voted to remove him or convict him, then there would just be kind of a follow-up procedural vote to bar him from future office. I'm not sure, even if he's not convicted, I assume that a lot of this evidence, this that's been presented by the impeachment managers, is going to potentially be used in both possible civil and criminal suits in the future. So even if he's not convicted, I don't think the president's sort of, or the former president's sort of legal troubles are necessarily over after the end of this trial.
And would that prevent him from holding office in a different way, just not through impeachment?
I mean, there's obviously the public opinion angle. Lisa Murkowski, who's a senator from Alaska, she's kind of made the claim that no matter what happens, Donald Trump's not going to get elected again to federal office. I don't know how much I agree with that. I'm skeptical of that. But I do think that it would certainly be more challenging for him to run for office again in something like 2024. Not only would he be the age that he mocked Joe Biden for being at 78 of running for office in 2024, but obviously he's got a lot more baggage around him now. Plus, there's a lot of unknowns about sort of what the Trump movement looks like within the next 4 years and where it goes, and if it leads to a splintering of the Republican Party, that actually weakens, I think, both the Republican Party and whatever former President Trump does. So I do think it's harder for him to run for federal office, no matter what happens with this impeachment trial. But given his previous success and his ability to survive a lot of scandals that I think would have tanked any other president, I wouldn't say that it's impossible for him to run for office again.
Kind of off the topic of impeachment, but you mentioned the kind of the battle going on within the Republican Party now. Have you ever seen or heard of anything like this in our country's history, with a battle between one person with the party that kind of divides it like it has?
Not necessarily one single person. Now, the United States, we've always been a two-party system. What those parties have looked like has changed over time. But generally what happens is that one party, for some reason, implodes. And it's generally over some single issue. So if you think about the Whig Party imploded over slavery, and part of it broke off into the Republican Party of Lincoln in the 1860s. So what generally happens if something sinks a party is that the party splinters. There's a part that doesn't survive, and the part that does survive is sort of a new entity. And if anything, that's what I would potentially see coming out of the Republican Party is kind of the sort of theoretically traditional Republican Party that has shown some hesitancy towards Trump, and either a Republican Party that still supports Trump, or if theoretically Trump creates a third party. So he actually has filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to essentially create a third party. I think it's called the Patriot Party. So if that happens, because of the way election laws are structured in the United States, it would be really hard for either one of those parties, the Republican Party or the Patriot Party, to win, because they draw votes from each other. So I've not necessarily seen a party fall apart across a single person, but Donald Trump is not just a single individual. He represents a number of policy positions. He represents an approach to politics that I don't think we've seen necessarily, certainly not in recent memory. So I could see it splitting the party in a way that's not just about him as an individual, but it's about what he represents.